You know what that sound means? That's right. Welcome. Hey, guys. This is Larry Herbeck's Box Live's Major Nelson. Checking in here for show number 201, recording this on Sunday, November 12th, 2006. Thank you. Thank you. You have downloaded one of the longest-running gaming podcasts on planet Earth. I've been doing this for about 2 years now. When I was doing this, no one was really doing podcasts, and they were just getting started, and now seems like everyone's got a podcast going on. Be surprised if I saw, like, you know, the Atari Lynx podcast. Is there one out there? It was a great device, wasn't it? So I want to thank everybody for their comments on my 200th show and do a little explanation. That wasn't, you know, so it was my 200th show in numbers, but it was actually my 100th show in production because I started numbering them. I think I started numbering them at 100. So just a little clarification there, but still a major milestone nonetheless. Also, this past week, I posted that we passed another milestone on the blog, which people may or may not be aware of, that there is a blog, majornelson.com. But we have passed 100,000 comments. That's right, achievement unlocked. 100,000 comments, and we actually, I gave a prize out to the person that won the 100, or excuse me, that posted the 100,000 comments. I wasn't really planning on doing this. What happened was, Lithion, who works on the blog, was looking in the database. That's what he does. He spends time in the database. And he's like, dude, we're almost at 100,000. I'm like, really? And then we surpassed it. And I said, all right, why don't you tell me who the 100,000 commentor is? And I'll send him a prize. So I did that. It was CAG79, CAG space 79. He posted a comment at 11:25, AM on Wednesday, and it was the 100,000 comments. So that's why there is a achievement unlocked. By the way, that makes a great sound effect, doesn't it? Here, I'll give it to you in the clear so you can actually edit it out and use it on your cell phone. Here you go. Here's the achievement unlocked sound effect. There. All right. So that's what's going on here. 100,000 comments. Thank you. We'll get to a quarter of a million. That'll probably be the next one. I want to talk about what's going on this week. As you can probably tell by some of the metadata, that's the fancy word for the show description, some of the metadata on this week's show, or maybe even the post that you saw. It's a pretty big show. I've got some great guests lined up. I have Caesar, who is the audio director at Microsoft Game Studios, and he worked with the guys over at Epic on Gears of War. That was kind of cool. I got a couple of Fragdolls stopping by to talk about Rainbow Six Vegas, so there you go. Fragdolls, Rainbow Six Vegas, which is coming out soon. Also, we made some announcements last week on Monday about some videos, some movies and TVs that are being downloaded to the Xbox Live Marketplace, or they're going to be available for download to the Xbox Live Marketplace. And I tracked down the guy who's working on those deals. You know, Microsoft is a huge company, and I don't have to tell you guys that. So when I see these announcements, what I tend to do is I'll try to kind of find out. Sometimes I hear about the announcements before they happen. Sometimes I don't. And what I'll do is, for instance, in the case of, let me see if I can open up my thing here. In the case of Caesar, for the audio director for Microsoft Game Studios, really what happened was is I got my copy of Gears of War, and I flipped it open, and like I'm doing right now. And first thing I did was I went to the back, third or fourth page, fifth page from the back. And I go to the credits and I look who worked on it for Microsoft, and I see that Laura Fryer was the executive producer. I need to get Laura on. I have actually never met her, and she's actually a legend in Xbox land. I have the producers and so forth. And you guys know that I love audio. So when I was going down the list here, I saw that Caesar worked on audio, and I sent him an email and I said, hey, can I get you on the show? He's like, sure, why not? So I went over and recorded that. Same thing happened with Ross, who works on the television and the TV and the movie marketplace initiative that we're going to be launching on the 22nd of November. He works on a lot of the deals. So I've never met him. So I sent him an email. I said, hey, can I get you on the show? Sure enough, yeah. So fortunately, a lot of people tend to know. What's funny is when they get an email from, you know, obviously it doesn't say Major Nelson on my email alias at Microsoft. It says Larry Herb, my real name. So when I send them an email, I always have to say Major Nelson because they know that name more so than my real name. So anyway, so sent some mails around internally, got Caesar lined up for the show. Of course, the Fragdolls are always on the show, or always welcome on the show. Good friends of ours. Ross Honey is going to be coming by to talk. It's his name, Ross Honey. He's going to be coming by to talk about TV and movies in the marketplace. He answers some of your questions around that. And then I also have a very special guest. There's been a lot of hoo-ha in the virtual space over the past couple weeks over EA's marketplace strategy. And I'm thrilled to have on the show Chip Lang. Chip Lang is kind of the head of their e-commerce for their gaming. So Chip Lang joins me. That'll be towards the end of the show. But so I got some pretty big guests lined up this week. So I'm pretty excited about this week. Let me tell you what happened this week. This is actually kind of cool. This just happened a couple days ago. Friday, I went over to see the guys over at Penny Arcade, Gabe and Tycho. And I'm, you know, fairly good friends with those guys. I probably talked to Tycho. God, it seems like I'm talking to him once every other day where we're talking about gaming and whatnot. And I went over to their office on Friday afternoon, so just a few days ago. And I got over there in the afternoon, and they're like, dude, we got our Wii. So they had gotten a review unit for the Wii, you know, because they're press. So they had gotten their review unit. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So let's play it. So Tycho and I went bowling. We did the bowling thing. It was fun. We started doing tennis. Then we did bowling. Then we did golf because I wanted to golf with him. And I got to tell you, it was pretty much as you'd think. It was a lot of fun. A lot of party games. My arms started getting tired though. And then he showed me Zelda. He really wouldn't let me play Zelda. Then he showed me Zelda. It was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun. The holding your arm out and navigating was a little bit tiresome. I will tell you this. It got a little tired. And Tycho, you know, his forearms tend to be very flaccid. So he was having a difficult time there. Gabe was actually in the corner drawing. Jerry was actually drawing the comic strip for Monday. So he really was. He was just kind of popping in every now and then, but he was focused on drawing, which is actually very. I mean, you guys have gone to the Penny Arcade Expo. You've probably watched him draw. It's very hypnotic. I was just kind of sitting there watching him. So the Wii was a ton of fun, and you know that goes on sale this week along with that other console. The PS3, that'll go on sale this week. So this, you know, a week from today, it's going to be, it could be a very different show for me in terms of, you know, people will finally have their hands on the Wii. They'll finally have their hands on the PS3. So we'll be able to have some really good, meaningful discussions. Maybe not the actual next show, but I'm sure shows moving forward. So I really, really look forward to that. But lots of fun. I mean, we had a blast doing that. Hopefully I can go over again this week and we can play a little bit more. Speaking of Tycho, he and I played Gears of War co-op last night. So Saturday night. We played it for about an hour and a half. I got to tell you, that is the most pure co-op experience I've ever had. Co-op over live. It was just phenomenal. If you haven't done, I know a lot of you guys are racing through the campaign because you want to be the first one to get through it. But you really need to try the co-op, version, co-op mode. It was a blast. He and I actually stopped last night, I think at like 1 o'clock in the morning, because we're just like, okay, we gotta pick this up again. But it was a ton of fun. The way the maps are designed, the way they kind of branch you off and send you in different directions, I highly, highly recommend it. It was a fantastic, fantastic co-op experience. And Gears of War getting, let's go over to GameRankings.com while I'm talking to you guys right now. Gears of War getting phenomenal reviews right now. You guys seem to really like it. Let's see what's going on here. Gears of War is sitting over at GameRankings.com. It is 94%, so not bad. It's really, 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 really fun. I did jump out of Gears of War last night and jumped into another first-person shooter, and I was kind of bummed because I didn't have cover. You know, I didn't have cover. I didn't have blind shooting, you know, where you kind of take the weapon and hold it up over whatever you're being covered by and pop them off. It some of the other shooters just didn't really feel good to me, but Cliffy B did a great job with Gears of War and just making it feel right. I mean, that's one of the things that's hard to quantify, is it just feels right. So, oh, this is interesting. So the game, the 236 user ratings only rated it as 8.6. I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, you know, phenomenal game, great fun, but really try the co-op when you get a moment. I really think you're selling yourself short if you don't try the co-op. Of course, you know, Gears of War is revolutionary in that it has real-time weapons change. I'm sure you've noticed that. I'm just kidding. Let's see what else. Viva Pinata is another game that I threw in. Big week for Microsoft Game Studios. We had Gears of War come out, which was done by Epic, and then Viva Pinata done by Rare. I'm trying to get somebody from Rare on, but apparently they shipped it and went all on vacation. Can you blame them? But really, the Viva Pinata is a lot of fun. I need to get into that today. Something I want to point out for those of you out there that have kids, maybe some parents that have kids, your dads or your moms that are out there that may not know this. It's actually mentioned in the manual, but you know who reads the F manual, right? Who reads it? With Viva Pinata, there's kind of this helper mode, and you don't have to do anything. It's on by default. But here's what it is. If you have two controllers, wired or wireless, it doesn't matter. If you have two controllers connected to your Xbox 360 and your child has one and they're playing Viva Pinata and they get hung up they don't know what to do, or maybe it's too complex. If you have the other controller, number two controller, you can actually just tell your kid, hey, just hold on a second. They can still hold the controller. You can swoop in with controller two, kind of do what you need to do to get them out of their corner. And then you can say, okay, go ahead. And off they go. So really, both controllers are running at once. And I've told a couple people this, and they kind of say, yeah, it's like the brake on driver's ed, you know, where the brake is on the passenger side of the car for the driver ed teacher to jam on it when you're cooking along too quickly. So that's something that's really interesting. If you haven't tried that out, it's well worth it. It's kind of those little touches, and this game it's just a lot of little touches that really add up to a really pure game experience. So that's that was fun too. So let's see what else. I think it's time we're gonna jump back to. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I'm so scattered today. Let's jump back into Gears of War, and I want to play for you the interview I did with the audio director Caesar earlier this week. He worked on, so he wasn't the only guy that worked on, and we'll explain that. I wish I could get some of the guys from Epic on, because I really want to know what. And you'll hear me ask this question of Caesar: What was the sound that was used, or how was curb stomping created? Is it one sound? And you'll hear the answer. So here's my interview with Caesar, who worked on the Gears of War audio. Today joining me is Caesar Flory. Caesar, hello.
Hello there.
So thanks for coming on. So you are the audio director for Microsoft Game Studios.
Yes.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah, I'm one of the audio directors in the publishing group at Microsoft Game Studios.
And one of the reasons I wanted to get you on is because you weren't the guy, but you were kind of involved in the process of Gears of War.
Yeah, indeed. My main responsibility is just to make sure, not like there was major concern, but just make sure that the audio got done, AAA world class for 360 for Gears.
And I think from what we've read, people are agreeing with you. It is world class.
Yeah, there's always the stress. Of course, on my end, I'm always just hearing like the one or two, nitpicky things that I'm saying, oh yeah, this or that and the other thing. But, we've gotten like tens, nines and tens across the board for audio, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, as people that listen to my show know, I'm a big fan of audio for obvious reasons. And I've had some audio guys on in the past. And I have a special, because it's one of those pieces that people really don't look at sometimes in gameplay. They get so focused on what it looks like.
Absolutely. And, on this game in particular, or all games, in general, it's amazing how the perceived quality of the game, even the graphics and the gameplay, can be changed by subtleties in audio, things you won't even overtly hear right up front. But some of the, especially in like Gears, Mike Larson, the audio director at Epic, he's awesome and really understands using atmospherics and tonal elements that people won't even necessarily notice to help build a mood and a sense of suspense. And I was really happy with what we came up with.
Before, I want to go further with Gears, but I want to jump back and talk about, you've got an interesting history in gaming.
Oh,
tell me about that, because I'm looking up on your wall and I see all your records, or not records, but all your, it's kind of like gold records, but they're CDs.
Yeah.
They're game discs.
Yeah. My path is very strange. When I was pretty young, I broke my wrist. And this is how it all kind of started. And all I could do was really sit home and play Nintendo.
Right.
Which led to a job at Nintendo, being a customer service agent.
Good.
Eventually begged and pleaded and did everything I could to get into software testing just so I could play games all day.
Right.
Then opportunity came up to go to EA. I became a test manager there. Did that for several years. Works all the while working on music and sound on the side, various projects. Eventually became an assistant producer at Electronic Arts Seattle. Worked on Need for Speed and FIFA, a bunch of other games that we did there.
So you did multi-platforms?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much everything. You know, PC, GameCube, PS2, PS1.
Xbox.
Xbox, yeah, indeed, yeah. Yeah, that was actually right before I left at EA, we had done our, I had done my first, for them, Xbox title, which was Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2.
Right.
And then after they closed the Seattle office, I took that opportunity to go home and finish an album that I was working on for myself, and then...
Because you're a music guy, you know. I can tell we're surrounded by all this great equipment.
Yeah. It's just, I just love flashing lights. It just makes me happy inside.
You have 5.1 set up in here.
I do have 5.1 set up in here
in your office. That's what I gotta get.
Exactly. Yeah. It's awesome, and it does a really good job of annoying all the office mates.
It's your job.
It's my job.
Your job is to hear and listen to the audio and critique it and give feedback and.
Exactly. So you know, pretty much every day I spend as much time as possible in the builds and providing some creative feedback to the team.
So let's get back to Gears. So what was some of the audio is so critical to the storyline. I, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't want to give too much away in the story for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But I'm not at the end of the first act yet.
Right.
And it's just the atmosphere that is created with the way the music kind of amps up a little bit. It's so subtle, yet it's so nifty. It's so great.
Yeah, a ton of music was created for the game. A lot of people were involved in that. The principal composer, Kevin Ripple, did the music for Gears, and they did a wide variety of tracks. So they had a huge palette of an emotional, basically, or energy palette to choose from throughout the game. Obviously there's triggers all throughout that that the level designers and the designers could pick from to make sure the music matched up with the action.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about what, some of the, there was an orchestra used?
Yes, that was one of the great things is, with a game as big as Gears, it's like, we got to go big, and we certainly did. It was like a 73-piece orchestra that we used over at Bastyr University over here in Kirkland.
Yep.
And, went over there and realized this stuff, full on. And,
so you're there, you were there when they were recording
this?
Yeah,
absolutely.
What was that like?
It was insane. It was incredible. I mean, I'd heard all this stuff, this music, and it's already sounded really great using samples and, virtual instruments, but it was just insane being there in that room. So you'll notice on the special edition DVD, there's a little segment on it, and that's basically me and our videographer sitting down there with our camcorder making sure we had it on tape because it was just...
It was a phenomenal moment.
It was a phenomenal moment. It was a beautiful space, beautiful sound, awesome score. And I was glad we were able to catch it on tape, so be sure to check that out.
So how long did it take to record? I mean, usually, people think like, oh, it's a concert, it's 2 hours. But this is a video game which goes for many, many, many hours. So how much time was spent with the orchestra, capturing it?
Almost, I think about 3 days, if I recall correctly. Yeah, I mean, you're going through each of the cues multiple times, maybe doubling it, tripling it, doing alternate takes.
Right.
Soloists coming into play like an individual part by themselves, one-off things, stingers. I mean, I think... it was a ton of music.
Right.
Yeah. Well, about an hour and a half, I think. I can't even recall, but the end result was like over an hour, almost 2 hours, I think, of music. And then that is done over the course of many days.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. So tell me, since you were working on this, the music was phenomenal. Tell me about some of the sound effects. That must have been an interesting challenge.
Yeah, totally. I mean, all the sound effects were built from the ground up, mainly by Mike Larson at Epic, a guy named Jamie Scott, as well as I helped out on some of it as well. Did some of the sounds.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Curb stomping.
Curb stomping.
What is that sound? When is there a specific sound?
The curb stomp. Well, I'll tell you what. For all these sounds, no matter if it's a curb stomp or a reload or an explosion or everything, there's so many layers to the sound that it's not an individual sound.
It's not one thing. It's just a collection.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that we did here for the game was actually build like a little Foley pit and, with our sound design team and our sound design manager, Ken Cotto, he built a great Foley pit and was over there like stomping around on stuff and, and just recording all sorts of zany things. So.
Right.
it was really, really cool. A lot of elements come together, and we just.
I'd like to see. Is that here? I'd love to see that.
Yeah, we can see it's over. It's going to be over in Building 8. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. So you guys have a whole. I'm going to come over and hang out in this cool audio studio.
Yeah, they're actually building a brand new space for those guys.
And so you guys won't be bothering anybody with your loud.
Exactly. I'm looking forward. It's a nice retreat, especially a nice walk in the summertime as well.
So since you're working on, you know, you've worked on Gears. What are some of the other games that you've worked on or are working on? I don't want to give away too much of the games, but some of the titles that have been announced.
Well, a couple of them coming up is Mass Effect by BioWare.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that one's.
I just had Ken Levine on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, he was. I'm really excited about that. And they were telling me about they had I think two full-time designers doing nothing but water.
Yeah.
So I wonder how what the sound of water is going to be like, and you guys are going to have you know. Create the texture.
Yeah, they have a really cool team. I love those guys. I hang out with them as much as humanly possible.
Yeah,
they have a great staff up there. Multiple sound designers, a great sound design manager, Shauna. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the other games you're working on?
Alan Wake.
Oh boy,
by Remedy. Yeah,
that's the one that everyone kind of at XO6 were kind of really double, almost triple taked at it.
Yeah,
it looked beautiful, and the sound, of course, will be part of the equation.
Absolutely, it's a beautiful, very stylistic title. Those guys are just true artists across the board. You know, art, audio, design, you know, everything. And I think it's going to be very special, especially on the audio front. You know, with lots of great ideas floating around right now.
When you're doing getting back to Gears, when you're doing the audio, do you look at the script or the storyline and figure out how do you do what you do?
Absolutely. You know, one thing that I'm very interested in here is, you know, really teaming up with the writers and the editors here. You're looking at the story and working with the external developers that we deal with and making sure that, you know, the proper consideration is made for the story arc and actually matching up the music to the story. Like, okay, here's where, like, the dark turn is in the story. You got to make sure that we have music that evolves appropriately with that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What are some of the games, you know, other than the games that we're playing, you know, like for Halo? I'm sure you talked to Marty O'Donnell, who's great over at Bungie. What are some of the games that you've played that you really like the audio of? That stand out for you? Do you have any?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm dating back. As far as like musically and stuff, I mean, it's all over the map. I tell you what, you know, like back on like PC, way back in the day, there's this game called Homeworld that had like some super like atmospheric, really cool experimental music.
Right.
That one still to this day really stands out in my mind as being you know
Homeworld,
something special.
Uh-huh.
You know, all the way up through, you know, like obviously. You know, I think a lot of praise goes to Halo, and I think it should because, you know, so much energy and time was spent on, you know, the music and the sound for that game. You know, those guys really, really, you know, focus on some good stuff. You know, I'm a big fan of the audio and sound design, attention to detail on like the Half-Life series. To be honest with you, think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, you look at it differently than most people.
Yeah, well, I
or
think
listen
so.
To it differently.
Yeah,
I should say.
I mean, I look at it as, you know, if the audio is, man, I mean, there's like two sides of my brain. I have like the lab coat side that like looks at like, wow, this is a really cool technique. This is a really interesting, you know, implementation or, mm-hmm. you know, cool sound design. But then there's the whole other side. Like, you know, I think like Condemned, that was a new game that came out.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the guys I work with here did some of the sound for that, Christopher. And, a game that makes me feel, you know, suspenseful or scared or just brings out some emotion in me, you know, like a game like that game like scared the crap out of me.
Well, that game scared the crap out of me when those mannequins came around the corner. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
My God.
Yeah, and you know, the sound played such a role in that. So much cool, subtle, atmospheric, you know, moody little sounds in that game.
Right.
You know, it was kind of minimal, but it was effective.
Right.
You know, Call of Duty 2 was also extremely.
We were just having this discussion last night because Call of Duty. It's so interesting when you're playing, for instance, the multiplayer maps. The audio that they layer in there atmospherically, it feels like literally over the next house there's a battle going on.
Yeah.
It's so brilliantly done.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, the right, you know, mixture of tech and creativity, you know, and design. You know, it's actually using the tech that's available that really create a mood and in an environment. You know, it's stuff that's available. It's just not necessarily, you know, necessarily always used, you know, to that degree. So, you know, I think that game's a great example.
What about Viva? Have you played Viva Pinata yet?
Yeah, I played myself a little bit of Viva. That's a really fun game.
Speaking of sound, that one's interesting.
Yeah, that's not actually one of my projects, but I did get some time on it, and I think it's really unique sounding.
Yeah, you probably couldn't work on Gears and Viva at the same time. I mean, that's just two different worlds clashing.
Yeah, well, I do some work on Zoo Tycoon. So,
okay, well, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
I got to ask you, what's your gamer tag?
It's a Plarwan, which is... there's a funny story about that. So yeah. Plarwan is a... Back when we were on Need for Speed, you can only have 8 characters on your license plate on your car when mm-hmm. you drove around, and your default was player one.
Right.
And so I decided to make it kind of this kind of exotic sounding name of Plarjuan. So,
got it.
So Plarjuan. So
that's your gamer tag.
That's my
that's
gamer
a great
tag.
Gamer tag.
Yeah.
Plarjuan.
Yeah. So I you know, fortunately, I think it's also unique enough. I can always find myself.
Right.
You know, whenever I search.
Perhaps
myself.
Not anymore.
I think I outed you. That's cats out of the bag. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, Cesar, I appreciate your time, and thanks for giving me a little glimpse into Gears of War audio.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks.
Can I come back on when Gears after Alan Wake ships?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to take a look at that. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Caesar. Thank you for coming in. If you look on page 27 of the Gears of War manual, you'll see him at the very top of the second column over from the left. He's the audio director there. So, as he said, he's not the guy who really directly worked on it. He kind of orchestrated for, and pardon the pun, based on the stories there. He kind of orchestrated a lot of things going on there. So, glad I got him on, and I'd love to get somebody on from Epic, but, you know, they're all the way across the country, and, you know, I'm not going to fly across the country for an audio interview. Although, I'll get him on the phone. Love to get him on the phone. I do need to find out what was the collection of audio used for curb stomping, though, because I enjoy that. Okay, so next we're looking forward. We're kind of looking forward to Rainbow Six Vegas, and for that, got some of the girls from Ubisoft, specifically the Frag Dolls, on. So here we go. Here they are. All right, on the line with me to talk about Rainbow Six Vegas are Frag Dolls Brooklyn and Valkyrie. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi, Major Nelson.
How you guys doing tonight?
Wonderful.
Good.
Doing great.
So you guys are dialing in from all across the country because you're all going around the world, playing cool games, going to cool events. But I wanted to talk about Rainbow Six Vegas.
I know. So exciting.
So tell me about what we can expect just from a multi... I mean, we've all kind of played the trailer from Xbox Live, and everybody's salivating who has downloaded the trailer. But tell me what's new with Rainbow Six Vegas, the franchise.
I think the most thing that players are going to be really excited about, all the gamers out there, is that Ubisoft has now incorporated a lot of great elements from other Tom Clancy's series, while staying true to the Rainbow series as well. They went back to the old engine, the Unreal Engine, so you're going to find that it runs more like the original Rainbow Six 3 and Black Arrow, and yet they still kept some of the customizable character profile creations where you're unlocking new game achievements, different weapons, those kind of things. Kind of a lot of fun with that stuff, too.
So, go ahead, Brooklyn.
I was just going to add a few more features. You get to do face mapping, which is really cool. So, your character can actually look like you using the Xbox Live camera.
Well, that can actually, in some cases, maybe not your case, but in my case, that can actually be a detriment. That could be a little scary. How does you guys have used that? How does that work? Have you guys played with it at all?
I haven't got to do the face mapping yet, but
right.
I do use the camera. But I did watch a trailer on it, and it looks like you just stare at the camera and it scans your face in.
Yeah, I'm trying to
and
do...
You literally become a character inside the game.
That's going to be wild. Yeah, I'm actually going to work on doing a video of how to use that, hopefully this week. So tell me about some of the multiplayer action, the hot multiplayer action I can get involved with you ladies.
Some of the new stuff that you're going to really find exciting is the fast roping. They have some rappelling going on where you can literally climb down the wall, come up behind people, whereas before in the original Rainbow game, that's never happened before. You've seen these in cutscenes and stuff like that, but you're actually going to be doing this inside the game.
Mm-hmm.
You can enter inside windows, break through them, blind cover fire, all kinds of things that are new to the series that are really going to capture the
Me and Valkyrie were like huge fans of Rainbow Six, three, the original on Xbox. They didn't have retrieval, but I think it was very successful when it came out on Black Arrow,
mm-hmm.
and they're incorporating that into the game. They also have a new mode called Attack and Defend, where you have to secure a hostage, and the other side of the team are like they play the terrorist, and basically the terrorists try to kill the hostage, but you have to deliver the hostage unharmed.
So it's the bad guys versus the good guys.
Exactly. So that's going to be really fun.
So I know you guys have probably downloaded the demo and played that. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it really feels tight, as the kids say.
It feels perfect. Like, seriously, it feels like old Rainbow Six 3, and that's what I'm excited about. They took it back to the roots.
I think Brooke's excited because, as am I, because we were such huge fans of all the Rainbow games, and, you know, our first experience, of course, was on the Xbox version, Rainbow Six 3, and we played the crap out of that long before we were Fragdolls, where literally we were psycho-obsessed gamers, so we're just really excited to have our series come back in, a game that we love, a series that we love, that we're going to kick some butt on.
When you become, like, obsessed with one game, you hate change. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I hate change. I wanted my game to stay exactly how it was. And although the other series were good games, it just wasn't the game I started on, and I didn't want anything to change. But now that it feels the same as the Rainbow Six 3, and so, I mean, I just cannot wait for this game. I can't express that enough.
So it's coming out November 20th. It's probably when it's shipping or in stores shortly thereafter.
Pre-order now. See Brooke and I on a little bonus CD and on the special edition.
Wait a minute. So what's this all about?
Can I say that?
Yeah. What is that all about?
It's out.
Tell me what this is all about.
We should be promoting it. Why not promote it?
Tell me about it.
No, I haven't begun the okay. I might have just messed that up. I hope I still have a job.
Tell me about it though. Go ahead.
Well, Brooke and I got to go to LA and do some really cool stuff. Filming the history, they picked us because, of course, we're the two most psychotically obsessed Rainbow Six players on the team.
Wait a minute,
so
girls that are psychotically obsessed, I don't believe it.
Disc where we're going to be giving you a little overview history behind the scenes, behind the history of Rainbow Six series, all the way from the PC to the Xbox version.
And we got to actually shoot guns.
I was hot, too. Let me tell you, it was awesome.
Do you remember what guns you guys were shooting?
Yes.
Okay. What was it?
We shot a 9mm, which was actually a lot harder than the rifle.
It was. I don't know why a pistol would be harder than the rifle, but it completely was.
Actually, I lied. I know it was a rifle, but I forgot what gun it was. I'm so bad. But I do know that I shot better than Valkyrie.
I beg to differ. I shot better on the rifle, you shot better on the pistol, and you shot guns before. This was my first in real life experience on shooting.
All right, I'll give you
that. So it's dramatically different from when you're playing Rainbow Vegas, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, as all gamers know, we kind of flash back to the times we're playing on the games. It always integrates into real life, even if we've never touched a gun. So we were definitely pretending we were in the game when we were shooting these things.
It does. I think it does help if you play video games. Because I went... Rooster Teeth invited me like a year ago to go play paintball with them outside. It was my first time, and so, I was using those same strategies, and I was kicking ass.
So just to be clear, Rooster Teeth, the guys that do Red versus Blue, the Halo.
Red versus Blue,
right?
Yeah.
Just so you're hanging, boy, you're hanging all over the place, Brooklyn.
Oh, am
you know
I?
It.
Yeah. I never know where I'm going to find you. So that's pretty exciting. So you guys are on the special DVD now. Did you get to rappel or do any of that kind of stuff?
Oh, I wish. I wish we would have got to do the full army type experience. But no, well, unfortunately, it's just the shooting range.
Yeah, shooting was the best part anyways. I would think if I had the option, I would have chose that.
So there you go. So Rainbow Six 3, if you get the pre-order, you get the, there's a special disc, special separate disc. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, bonus disc.
Bonus stuff.
Find a lot of stuff on it, but the best part of it will be Brooke and I on there. Yeah,
that's good.
Or the history of Rainbow.
Cool. So Rainbow Six Vegas in stores or shipping 11/20. It's another great game on the Xbox 360 platform. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Major Nelson.
Rainbow Six Vegas coming soon, of course, with the Xbox 360. If you have the Xbox Vision camera, you will be able to use your face mapping. We talked a little bit about that, and they hadn't seen it yet. I'm trying to get my hands on a build of the game so that I can do a little video to show you how face mapping will work. So, which it's kind of a cool feature that knowing the live audience kind of scares me a little bit. Anyway, that's why we have feedback, isn't it? Isn't that really the reason we have feedback? All right, my next interview is with Ross Honey. Ross is responsible. His team is responsible for doing the deals with television and motion picture studios regarding some of the announcements that we made earlier this week. Specifically, that starting November 22nd, you are going to be able to download full versions of television and movies to your Xbox 360. So it's very exciting news. I will. You know, we talk a lot about it, but listen very carefully because we're going to talk about. How it's going to appear in the dashboard towards the end of the interview. So here's the interview. I'm in Ross Honey's office right now. Ross, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you are the man behind all the announcements this week. Why don't you go through and tell us what some of those cool announcements are?
I'm one of the guys behind the announcement and gals behind the announcement.
Right.
But so what's going on is on Monday night, we announced that we will be launching a whole new extension to Marketplace, Xbox Live Marketplace, called Video Marketplace, which will enable the community to be able to download full-length episodes of television and full-length movies in high def and standard definition.
This is blowing some people's minds right now.
Awesome.
You know, we announced it last week. The show's airing, obviously, Sunday, so it was less than a week ago you made these announcements. What is some of the content that we can expect on the Marketplace?
We have a great lineup of content, a set of launch partners. Let's start first with the movies.
Right.
So we have Warner Brothers, and we have Paramount. Warner Brothers is actually making a whole set of feature films in high definition available to us. We're going to have V for Vendetta at launch, a great movie. We're going to have Superman Returns just before the new year in high definition. Great library titles like The Perfect Storm. From Paramount, we're going to have Mission Impossible 3, Nacho Libre, and great library titles like your favorite, Jackass the Movie.
Yeah, exactly. You know that. You saw me jumping off the building.
So on the TV side, we've got a great mix of TV that's going to, I think really appeal to the Xbox Live community, and content that also has a broader appeal to all the gamers' friends and family. CBS is, for the first time ever, making high-definition content available for download to own.
Yep.
So we're going to get all the CSIs, Numbers, NCIS, Survivor, and then some killer library content. One I'm personally excited about is the remastered Star Trek, the original series, in high def.
The guys from, Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade called me, and they were so excited about that. And I actually, because I have the demo running in my office, and I downloaded it. It looks phenomenal.
Well, what you download was SD, actually. Not even the...
So the SD looked great.
Yeah, no, the encoding wizards have kicked some serious ass, and they have been able to squeeze the most visual quality I've ever seen and the smallest size files I've ever seen. And I think one of the key principles of what we've done here is that our community, our users, are not going to feel they're making any compromises in the video experience to get it downloaded over the internet.
So let's talk about Star Trek for a second, because that's pretty amazing, because a lot of people don't know this, and I know this because I come from that background, but the shows themselves were shot on film originally.
Right.
And so what you're telling me is they're going back to the original films and they're making a high def master for all intents and purposes.
Exactly. And they're doing all new CGI. All the special effects.
Wait a minute.
Oh yeah, Doug, just blow your
really?
Mind.
Really?
Yeah. So
they're not going to replace all the cheesy lights on the bridge, are they?
Probably not. I hope not. And I'm sure the outfits will remain as cool as
and the
timeless
red shirts will still die.
Exactly. Yes, they're not going to change that. But Xbox unfortunately can take no credit for CBS
of
and
course.
Paramount doing this. What they decided to do on the Paramount Television, which is part of CBS, to revitalize the original series franchise and drive a new business opportunity, they came up with this idea of remastering HD, doing new CGI, kind of like Lucas did with a lot of the Star Wars original trilogy.
Of course,
original
you just
trilogy.
Said that and everyone said, no Jar Jar!
Original trilogy, you will note, I
okay,
said.
Good point.
They did it for syndication. So they offered it for distribution across the country. And so they have them in the can, and when we approached them and knew that they were doing this, in fact, actually, Chris Pierce, the GM of Client Software, made a personal request to get Star Trek in HD, and we're glad we did because the reaction in the community has been
great. Are you taking personal requests? I missed that.
Well, actually, I anticipated one of yours because another great library title from CBS, MacGyver.
Oh, yeah, and I'm all about MacGyver.
So I've heard, it's the first time we've met, but
right.
I've heard around...
I can do a podcast anywhere on the planet with nothing more than a battery and a small microphone.
We're actually talking to toothpicks right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's really exciting. So it's movies and it's television.
Yeah, it's television. We're going to have, by the end of the year, over 1,000 hours, and the only question is how much higher over 1,000 we're going to have.
Right.
We've got those encoding wizards I talked about. We've got the ingestion.
That's the fancy word for taking something and making it electronic.
Thank you. Yes. Ingestion.
It's not what you get after you eat a lot of pasta.
Yes. So those guys are working 24/7. But really, that's our biggest challenge right now is how do we get all this great content up and on the service looking great? And one thing actually I didn't mention as we talked about sort of the quality of the experience is that where it's going to be available in both SD or HD, we'll be delivering 5.1.
Oh, really?
I'm blowing your mind. I'm loving it.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Because I don't have 5.1 in my office yet. I'll have to work on that.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you didn't get that?
No, I didn't
standard.
Get that. So I'll have to work on that.
But
5.1, so they're going to remaster. It's going to have full. So this is digital H, in some cases HD with full 5.1.
Yeah.
It's the real deal.
We're talking like, we feel very comfortable saying that, like I said, no compromises whatsoever.
Wow.
If not a better experience than you can get. You know, there are many people in the country who can't get high definition broadcast signals for whatever reason. You know, there are lots of bad reasons for it, but nonetheless, it's out there. And now all those consumers can download CSI, number one show in the country, in high def and see it in high def for the first time. And as someone who, you know, has been lucky to have HD for quite a while and a nice big screen to watch it,
awesome. What's your home theater look like? I asked that of all my guests.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are you pimping with?
Well, I have a 90-inch DLP projector in the media room.
Good. Notice he said the media room, which means there's more.
7.1 sound.
Because 5.1 is just not enough.
You know, the 7.1 takes it to 11, I like to say.
Right, exactly.
And then with the Media Center, of course, 360, of course.
What's your gamer tag? You know, I asked that.
It's WRH Canuck. Canuck, because I do hail from the Great White North.
Right.
Do you ask GamerScore as well?
Sure.
Well, I have to believe that anyone here who was involved in Xbox and involved in the beta test like we're doing must have been playing a lot when the achievements weren't quite, you know, because to have your like 6-digit, you know, gamer scores is just like insane. I don't know how you would work.
Yeah, well, I've always said that everyone I interview, they always have like, you know, 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 6,000, right around
okay,
there.
Okay, I have like 1705. Okay. Gears of War took me from 1695 yesterday to 1705.
So you're playing that on that DLP?
Yeah.
How's it look?
It's hot.
It's mind blowing. All right.
My biggest constraint on my viewing experience is my wife, who doesn't like the noise quite as loud as I do, even in the separate room. Anyway, so
I think a lot of my listeners can that resonates with them, as it were.
I have another DLP in the bedroom,
going
to 100-inch drop down, which
This is serious.
So we get the Xbox 360 and the high def video in the room, in the bedroom, whatever we want to do.
And so you've obviously been testing this at home.
Absolutely.
And how does it look? I mean, some of this content that you've downloaded, like some.
No, you know, high def is awesome.
Now, when you say high def, a lot of people, there's all this confusion now in the market. Well, is 720p high def or 1080i or 1080? You know, what's going on there?
I suggest all your listeners go to avsforum.com and if they really want to get into the mix on that one. But I think the high level overview is that there are a couple different flavors of high def.
Right.
And I will not even touch the religious discussion of whether 1080i is better than 720p or 1080p, blah, blah, blah. But there are multiple options. We use 720p.
Right.
It's what Xbox 360 has been doing since
It's
optimized for that.
Yep.
And I have 720p projectors in my home, and it looks awesome.
Okay.
And if I walked, you know, I walk anybody in and said, you know, which would you say this is? Do you know? Can you determine which source this is from? Is this Xbox or is this the HD DVR I have from Comcast?
Right.
And I challenge anyone to say, oh yeah, I can tell that's from the internet.
All right, so I want to talk two things. I want to talk about is a lot of people I have that listen to this show. Their Xbox Live is a global community.
Sorry, before you go there,
okay,
though,
okay,
apologize me. I'm gonna spin you a little bit, or send my message out there, okay. which is I just want to cover the other content providers we got.
Okay,
so we had talked about CBS, yep. Kick-Ass. We have Turner with Adult Swim,
right?
Which is
Robot Chicken,
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Venture Brothers, Extreme X. The list goes on. We're really excited to have those guys because I don't know if you knew this, but Adult Swim is the number one rated cable network for males 18 to 34. For all you males 18 to 34 out there.
For all you males 18 to 34. So they're not. I did not know that. I thought Xbox McMahon. Live was the number one network for males 18 to 34.
Well, I mean, you talk about a gaming.
Right.
I did say cable television
good point,
network.
Good point. Touche.
And so we're super fired up. And I think if anyone goes on the web and sees some of the screens we put up there or watches Peter Moore's walkthrough after seeing him do Dance Dance Revolution, you'll see actually how the interface of the service is as I think Aaron Greenberg said, skinned
right.
with the branding and the images of the shows and of the network. So when you go to Robot Chicken, it's this very cool
Robot Chicken
HD Robot Chicken background. Adventure Brothers is a totally different one. It's really an incredibly visual, cool experience.
Speaking of screenshots,
yeah,
there's a little bit of confusion out there. Let's talk about that before we move to the next subject.
Yeah, but I'll just finish. UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Okay, we'll keep going down your list.
I love my partners.
Right,
and
UFC.
I've got to pimp them.
UFC.
So we got Ultimate Fighting Championships, we got Turner, yep. and we got MTV Networks with all their, posse of Spike, MTV, Nickelodeon. Right.
So it's a nice launch
six,
list.
Six partners. I don't think I missed Comedy Central's part of MTV right. Networks. I think that's the... I think that's it. So sorry, Larry. Please. Now I'll turn it back over
to
you.
But before you, but let's be clear.
Yeah,
you're going to be adding more partners in the future.
Absolutely.
I mean, people think that that's all done. No. You're not going home yet. You're not going away for the holidays.
We're just getting started.
You're just getting started.
You're just
heating it up.
As the Seattle Times quoted me, we're talking to everybody.
Right.
All of us have major frequent flyers flying to LA and New York.
Right.
And this is just the beginning.
Right.
I think different companies are different times with their strategies and thinking about different things. But all of them see the power of Xbox 360, see the audience, see the quality of the experience. I mean, a lot of these companies, particularly as they become more sophisticated, they sort of have a checklist. Like everyone, there's a million different internet video distribution right. opportunities out there. So they're getting pinged every which way but loose. So they now sit down and they say, okay, we have a checklist. So one of the key checklists is what's the experience like? And we blow them away with Xbox 360. What's the environment? What's the brand? Are we going to feel comfortable? Xbox 360,
right. check.
We're kicking ass across all that. So I think everyone sees that and is interested, and it's just a matter of time. And working out, deals which are, take a long time.
So let's move forward. So talk about the screenshots. There was a little bit of confusion on some
yes.
of the screenshots that went
out. And video.
And the video. Let's talk about some of those things. One of the what was not right in those screenshots and video? Here's a quiz. I know the answer.
Let me think. I remember on Monday night at about 11 o'clock Pacific, as I was just browsing some of the blogs, and Gadget in particular, which is my next favorite blog after yours, of course.
Stop.
And I noticed that Intrepid community had said, hey, check out, they got a whole new site up on Xbox.com, and there's a video here, and I was right, I know the prices.
Right.
They're in there.
Right.
$3, and the guy gave himself a virtual high five. So I quickly checked it out, and basically, we are running the beta test, as you talked about,
yeah.
and we're sort of working through the bugs and just putting a lot of placeholder stuff in there. You'll also notice in that video, or people will when they saw it, that we had some banners up for the very new hot film, Analyze This,
right.
And Lethal Weapon 4. Good films, but not
right.
not our cutting-edge new releases. So a lot of that stuff was just placeholder-y. We just had to put something in.
Right.
And so all the prices that people saw are totally made up.
Right.
I think, we're just working on the pricing details right now, just finalizing a few things. And I think what we'd just like to say to everybody out there is that on standard definition, we're going to be competitive with everything else that's out there.
Okay.
And on high definition television, which is totally new,
right.
No one has ever sold high definition television before. We're going to be setting some new ground. And as we think about pricing there, as much as I'm sure many users would prefer and love that to be priced the same as standard definition, you have to use up a lot more bandwidth to deliver high def. It's,
sure.
It's at least four times more intensive in that regard. So that's more cost. So we're going to have a there's going to be a premium price to for high definition television, but it's nothing going to be out of line with what people see out in the market today. I mean,
right.
when you turn on Comcast's VOD service and they offer high definition movies, that's at a premium to their standard definition. When you buy HD DVD, that's at a premium to a DVD.
Yeah.
So it's going to be completely in line with, you know, we're not trying to do anything special on the pricing other, you know, we're, in fact, actually, if I might say,
sure.
on that competitive pricing with regards to standard definition, we're actually going to offer a higher quality experience than anybody else that is doing out there. Because
when you say higher quality, what does that mean?
Good question. what I meant by that is that so everyone's going to do the same video resolution,
right?
640 by 480 for the geeks out there,
right?
But none of them do 5.1 sound.
Okay.
They all do stereo,
right?
Because most of them are delivering to computers, and except, you know, for perhaps mine, aren't hooked up to a 5.1 sound system, so they can't take advantage of it. So we're going to be competitive pricing, yet offer a higher quality experience.
One of the things I'm seeing all the time, before I forget, people are saying, don't you find it odd that the Viva Pinata series isn't on there? Are we going to get that on?
So, yeah, I we were talking, was it with Peter or Shane or one of the two guys? Shane, actually. Yeah, and he was like, hey, that, you know, we got to get on there. and my daughter totally loves Viva Pinata, so I have a personal interest in that as well. Although maybe not too much personal interest, because she gets too used to using my Xbox. I won't be
right.
able to play.
Well, it sounds like you got enough TVs, you could just buy another one. So it doesn't sound like much of a problem.
Anyways.
No one's feeling sorry for you,
yeah,
mister.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I can borrow one of your extras. I'm sure you got like seven in your office. I think that's eminently doable. I mean, ultimately, people might be surprised to know we don't have an army of people doing these deals.
Right.
And so we had to do some prioritization, but clearly Viva Pinata, which everyone's really excited about, is a no-brainer.
So the other thing that I hear a lot is in the regions, people are saying, well, Xbox Live, and that's what I was asking earlier, Xbox Live is a global community. Why isn't this available? Why isn't this being rolled out in Canada, for instance? Or
yes.
Mexico or Japan?
I'm sure my relatives are going to like really, you know, yell at me. So the reason for that isn't for lack of desire on our part.
Right.
So just to be really clear, that we absolutely, there's nothing's changed with regards to Xbox and the belief that it's a global brand and a global community, and we want to offer everything as much as we can globally. But what everyone needs to understand is that when a content producer, and let's just take CSI as an example, produces a show here in the United States, it is absolutely standard part of their business model that they will take that show and then resell that internationally, market by market, wherever they can.
Sure,
frankly. So they have, I don't know off the top of my head who did what the terms are, who the partners are, but I'm very confident that CSI has been syndicated to a network in Canada.
Sure. And other countries.
And other countries, UK, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so what that means is that those deals are exclusive. You know, and those networks, international markets, are paying upfront cash generally.
Right.
For that right. So they have a very strong vested interest and a contract in place that says, all right, I'm the only one who's offering this show in Canada. And when if CBS was to do a deal with us that did not limit it to the United States, all of a sudden this show would be available day after air in
right.
Canada.
Right.
And actually it gets, you know, not to delve into the total boring details of this space, but it is a podcast and we can go as long as we want.
As long
right?
as you want, right.
is that actually in many international markets they lag the premiere schedule of what CBS needs to avoid is all of a sudden us offering that in that market and causing problems for their local partner. So we absolutely believe there's tremendous opportunity there, and we understand why all the fans of all this great content want to get it on their Xbox, and that's why we've done it. It's just going to take some time.
So let's be clear. I mean, just so people listening, it's not a technical issue. We could make it happen. Problem is we would open this part of the marketplace up, and there'd be nothing there. That's pretty boring.
Well said. So, well said. That's why they call you Major Nelson.
Exactly. So the and of course, you know, you talked about CBS, but this exists with every single content provider,
yeah.
Paramount. And
I just use them as
an
example.
It also exists on the movie side. It's even worse on the movie side. You know, when a movie will open in North America, and then it opens a few weeks later in England, So it's the same thing. So
the technology, the internet as a distribution platform, I'm stating something that's pretty well understood by pretty much everyone, is way out ahead of the business structures that exist. Particularly, not to say the media industry is making great strides forward and doing great things like distributing their content on Xbox 360.
Right.
But there's just, you know, these kind contracts, often long-term contracts, lots of sort of standard operating ways that things have happened for a long, long time with a lot of money attached for them. So I think you can tell, as much an enthusiast about this stuff as anybody. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to get as much of this stuff happening in as many places as possible, but it takes time.
So that's good to know. So there you go. So hopefully we'll be rolling it out when we have the right content to put into the marketplace. The other question I have is regarding the content. One thing is that I'm worried about, and that a lot of people worry about, is, oh, all of a sudden there's going to be, you know, episodes of Care Bear and Barbies up there. So who's saying no?
Just a second, I have to take that off the ingestion list right now.
Scratch that right off.
Care Bears.
Or actually, you know, if we put up for instance, movies, perfect example. If we put up Bridges of Madison County, people are going to come after me and kill me.
My favorite example actually is Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Okay.
From Warner Brothers, wonderful movie.
All great films,
All
great films, but not quite the Xbox Live audience.
No, that's true. And so what we've, as a team, we really tried to, like, when we sort of sat down and said, okay, we have the vision for the product and how that's going to be. So how do we want to think about content? And we absolutely initially said, okay, so there's lots of different ways you can play that. Given the focused community that is the Xbox Live community, we made a pretty clear decision that we were going to shoot after two types of content. One was content that resonated with the community very explicitly. So Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Star Trek.
Star Trek, the original series in high def. Adult Swim.
By the way, I'm just putting in my vote for Battlestar Galactica.
And so is like half of the blogosphere.
So duly noted.
All I'll say on that one is I love Battlestar as much as anybody.
And you will do your best.
We are working on it. Okay. So, we look forward to partnering with our friends at NBC Universal in that area. But absolutely, and we've done stuff, free stuff with Battlestar Galactica, and we will continue to do so. Actually, right. So anyways, you knocked me off my track, man.
I'm
saying?
I totally.
I had my whole vibe going, and I lost it. Selecting the content. So we got great stuff that totally resonates with the core, you know, community. Right. And then what we want to do is also have some broader appealing stuff that would appeal to anyone. And that's stuff like CSI, stuff like The Perfect Storm, that appeal to the community, but are also going to appeal to your brother, your sister, grandmother, mother, father, wife.
I mean, reality is, I said this when the Xbox 360 launched, and those of you who listen to my show for a long time remember this. The way to sell an Xbox 360 is to get your wife or mother or significant other really keyed into getting excited about it. And I always say that when the Xbox 360 launched, have some photos playing and have the music playing and show that it's more than a gaming machine. So if you're going to have something like, for instance, Perfect Storm, my wife loves George Clooney, so that's sold.
He's
that's
so hot.
That's cool.
He's so hot.
See, I'm with you on that one. So
even though he's not Canadian,
right?
That's absolutely right. In our market research, we did some focus groups about this, and that message came across loud and clear. Is that this, you know, this really. This really gives a killer reason for to get an Xbox 360. The games have to. I want to be clear though. it's first about the core, the gamer saying, wow, I really want that to play Gears of War, which does rock, by the way.
Right.
And then it's sort of, but, you know, their significant other saying, well, you know, I'm not sure. Is that, I don't know, what is this thing? I don't want another box in the living room, whatever. Hey, but you can get CSI in high def.
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay. Let me get it.
We've all had those discussions with our significant others.
I think on ABS Forum, in fact, they call it WAF.
Well, the WAF, the Wife Acceptance Factor.
Exactly. So that's, or GAF, Girlfriend Acceptance Factor.
Or Significant Other Factor.
Thank SAF. You. SAF, yes. Thank you for that politically correct.
I just want to make it politically
correct. Nice, that was good.
So the other question is, you know, that we talked about availability in different countries, is now everyone's screaming, all the arms are up, we need a bigger hard drive, we need a bigger hard drive. What's your take on that? I mean, I know the answer.
You do.
Well, the answer is I actually have downloaded. I think I downloaded V for Vendetta.
Yep.
In the beta test. And by the way, I want to be clear. The beta test is internal only, folks. So stop the emails right now. is that it, you know? I had plenty of room on my hard drive for that and a couple of Star Treks.
Yeah. No. I think like look, we you know it's 20 gig hard drive, 13 gig addressable by the user if they have nothing else on there. They can get, I believe, off the top of my head, 14 hours of standard definition content.
So you've clearly had this question before.
Occasionally, yes. And it's actually something we wrestle with internally because we want our users to have a great experience. So 14 hours total of standard def, which, yep. which you know, adds up to a lot of episodes of television in standard def. When you think a half an hour episode is 22 minutes and an hour long episode is really 44 minutes because of,
you know what I love, by the way, a lot of people don't know this, is the, if you, as you're watching TV, you can hit the right trigger and it skips, there's a 30 second skip, which is ironic because there's no commercials.
I didn't know the right trigger. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Trigger is 30
cool,
seconds.
Thank you for that. tips. So, and then on the high def side, we have 4.5 hours, roughly 4.5 hours of high def, which, you know,
right.
Admittedly is a movie or two.
Right.
So we understand that issue, and we're addressing it in a couple different ways. First is on the feature film side, we have we're doing VOD a rental model.
So video on demand.
Video on. Thank you. Yes. video on demand. And you download it. You can watch it for 14 days. You have option to watch it now or watch it later. You have 2 weeks. Then once you start watching it, you have 24 hours to watch it as many times as you want.
Okay, so let me just get make sense. So I download it, and I have 14 days to watch it.
Yes.
I have 14 days. Within that 14 days, I can use it 24 hours, any 24 hours in that 14 days, but I can watch it as many times as I want.
You are correct, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
There'll be a test later.
Okay. 14 days, so now 24 hours. Okay.
Yeah, I got it. So so you could, hypothetically, if it's a 2-hour movie, you could watch it 12 times.
And let's be clear. That's industry standard.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It is pretty much industry standard, and there are lots of reasons for that. And I understand, as a consumer myself, I understand why it'd be cool to have 48 hours or whatever period of time, 2 days. And again, goes back to my point of there are industry structures in place and contracts in place and lots.
That's
of
fancy talk for it's the lawyer's fault.
I love our lawyers and my partner's lawyers, having spent many, many hours on meetings and phones with them. So yeah. I give props to lawyers. Anyhow, so you watch, you know, download V for Vendetta in high definition.
In high definition.
Superman Returns in high definition.
Yeah.
Nacho Libre in high definition. No, sorry, Nacho Libre is Paramount, and we're doing standard definition with them first.
Okay.
Anyways, download that, watch it,
yep.
Delete it,
mm-hmm.
and then download another movie. So we're, that's on the feature film side. On the TV side, it's an ownership model. You're downloading and you own it, so you can.
So when I download my Star Trek, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to download all the Star Treks, buy another hard drive, put them all on there, and I'm going to just label it, you know, Star Trek, and put it on the shelf.
You could do that, but I have an even cooler way to do it.
Oh, I'm listening.
Listen, we are, you know, with the arcade.
Yep. Familiar with it.
Let me tell you about something Xbox is doing called Xbox Live Arcade. Yes. I hope you're listening. I may be breaking some great news here. Yeah. Classic games.
Yeah,
download
exactly.
And new games, original
new games.
Anyways, great service. I digress. So you know how you can download the game and then you can delete it,
yeah.
If you want to make space, and then say you want to play, you know, Doom again or Joust or whatever.
You've already the service knows
you bought it, and then you can re-download it
for nothing.
We take that exact same model and apply it to television. So you can purchase an episode of High Def Star Trek.
Right.
Download it, watch it. It's going to be, you know, a couple gig
sure.
of space. Delete it. The service knows that you bought it. So you can redownload it anytime, as many times as you want. What's also cool is, let's say you got the High Def experience, you like that, but you got a buddy coming over and you just want to have you want to get it quickly. It's not on your hard drive anymore and you don't want to wait a couple hours to download it. You can actually, when you buy High Def, you get the standard def resolution as well for no additional charge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can get the standard def, which, you know, if we've had in-home testing here with Comcast broadband.
Is that you sucking up all my bandwidth at night? Downloading all those shows when I'm trying to play Gears for Wars. Darn it.
You can have playback initiate in very standard def. It's because of progressive download.
So let's stop. I mean, not to be funny for a second, but that's right. So you're actually starting the download, and then you can actually start playing this while it's continuing download in the back.
You're correct, it's not streaming. It's not streaming.
And why don't we do streaming?
So we don't do streaming because to ensure that great experience I talked about earlier,
right.
No compromises.
Right.
You need fairly high bit rates,
right.
Meaning you need a lot of data to ensure the quality of the video is right. there. So the internet is really not well designed to. It's great for many things, as we
right.
know. It's not very well designed, at least in a cost-effective manner, to deliver that kind of bit rate on a constant progressive basis to lots of
users. So is Al Gore working on that?
Hey, I'm a fan of Al Gore, and let's not even go there on whether he actually claimed he invented the internet. Anyways, given the election, it's top of mind for many, I'm sure. But
sure.
Anyways, so we do streaming though with regards to previews.
So that's kind of nifty. So
it's not just nifty; it's incredibly cool.
It's way cool. So this is basically where you can go into the section of the marketplace. You can look at something and you say, "Show me the preview." And there's a little window that pops up, and you see the preview.
That's
bam.
Right. That's right. It, bam. In fact, there's a sound effect that is
bam,
like, bam,
bam. There it is. And that's kind of cool. And of course, everyone says, well, we're going to want that for the rest of marketplace. Because that's the other question, is a lot of people not complain.
That's not my problem.
That's not your problem, right? A lot of people complain that there's so much content in the marketplace difficult to find. And
yeah.
we're aware of that, and the team is trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and actually, what I would say there is that if users look at the screenshots with the inappropriately priced example right. placeholders, they will see, actually, that the interface of the service is actually very graphic.
But it's also slightly different the way it's almost like
it's very different.
Windows Media Center on Vista.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
In terms of that, for those of you that are Vista beta testing now.
Yeah. Isn't everybody?
Isn't everybody?
I don't know.
Didn't it go to manufacturing today?
I think it
did.
That's what I say.
To our Windows
big ups to Vista. Now all the Linux sisters. People are listening and they're pissed at me now.
Oh, sorry.
So
we'll blame it on me. I brought it up. It's actually look at that interface and while we don't have anything formal to say, nor do I have any involvement in it, I think that's a good general sense of the direction that marketplace is going to be going.
Yeah, the one thing I liked that I thought was interesting, and I'm sure that someone will take me out if I talk about this. There's actually
you're still going to talk about it anyway.
But I'm going to talk about it anyway.
All right.
Is that part of it? You know, you could sort by studio or sort by provider, sort by show. One of them was sort by most downloaded.
Yeah, no.
So it's actually looking at the service and going, oh, this is the most downloaded.
The community speaks.
The community speaks.
Yep. So if a particular movie or a particular episode, you know, we're not going to control that. That's
right.
Totally what the users are saying is great. Then that's we view that as just goodness.
What about what are content providers who are out there who want to get content on there? What should they do? I mean, because you're talking all the big guys. I'm sure there's tons of there's an independent filmmaker listening someplace. And
I've already got their email. I think the digital platform, as has been demonstrated by many others, shows what a great potential there is to offer. You're not constrained by shelf space,
right?
Staying the no brainer. We absolutely believe that there's a great potential to offer independent, niche, whatever you want to describe it, less popular content in time. So I would say to everyone out there that right now the team is as I mentioned earlier, really focused on in just getting ingested, and encoded all the content, the great content we have up on the service for launch. We are then going to talk to some of the other majors here. And this is really, think of it as sort of bang for the buck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that, that there isn't some incredibly cool stuff out there that that would be great to have on here. But you sort of have to look at, again, sort of time and scarce resources. Is it better to get the equivalent of CSI from another partner first and then get the other stuff? So we're going to get there. It's just, it's going to take a bit of time, probably a lot more time than people would like, especially on the independent content provider, but we think it's a great opportunity.
So the other question that I get all the time,
and please tell Major Nelson if you have any content requests.
Yeah, so here's the number one content request other than Battlestar Galactica. Here's the other one, number one content request. How the hell do I get my podcasts on the marketplace?
Yeah,
I'm going to hold you down to that one.
You're tough, you know.
And those are free.
You were a friendly interviewer, man. I would never have agreed to it if I was going to get...
I'm pinning you down on this
one. Yeah, look, I think... this has come up on Zune as well. So I'll just deflect it to them. It's all Zune. I think that as a good friend of ours, Zunester, is that what he calls himself? David Calton covered in his blog. But look, I think everyone here gets and loves and wants to make happen podcasts as soon as possible, and the video equivalent. I don't even know what video are they, just video podcasts or
video blog
podcasts or whatever. No one's landed on one of those yet. But anyways, there's great opportunity there and lots of great content. And it's just, I think if you look at the Zune team, look what they accomplished in the short time they've worked on. The reviews are killer. It's just a matter of time for them. They're going to get out there. I think we think of whatever you want to call it.
He's shutting me down.
I've been trained so well by PR. I have a little electroshock collar that they buzz me with. I think, user generated, viral, podcast is all awesome. And I'll say on that is stay tuned.
So you said the Z word. Let's talk about Zune, which is launching this week because the show's airing on Sunday.
Exactly right.
So it's airing this. It's going to go on sale this week. How does the Zune fit into this whole thing? Are you ready to talk about that at all?
Well, it's an excellent question. I would say first and foremost that the Zune team made a smart decision coming out into a market that Apple dominates so well and with such great products, and said, look, We're gonna be about the music. We're gonna focus on the music, and really make sure we hit that out of the park. And I think you look at all the reviews. I've had a beta unit for, as I'm sure you have as well, for a number of months, and so I've known for a long time how cool it is. But I've been really pleasant. I wasn't sure if I was just drinking the Kool-Aid and being nice.
Did you stop using your iPod?
You know what? This is a funny story, but I joined Microsoft about 18 months ago.
Right.
And I had an iPod. Okay. And I think the day after I accepted, I was living in New York City, and the day after I accepted, my iPod fell out of my pocket in a cab.
Ouch.
And so that was like Gates karma going on.
Right,
there
it was written on the wall. It was writing on the
wall. His power was fully demonstrated by that find, how he
can levitate, he can move objects, it's crazy, telekinesis.
He's actually going to be on Heroes. Yes.
it's crazy.
It's super brain control. Anyway, so it fell in my pocket. So I figured, well, all right, I'm not going to, because I'm going to Microsoft, I'm not going to buy another iPod. I'll go with
Of course, we all use iPods around here. Even Jay uses one.
No. Well, Jay, he should be in an Apple ad for all
Apple
equipment he has in his office. He's an iconoclast.
He's crazy.
Have
you seen that monitor? He's got that new cinema wide monitor.
I know.
It's like 90 inches or something.
Well, in the new office that those guys sit in, the offices are so small because they're all crammed in there that I think his half of his wall is taken over by that monitor.
Yeah. it's crazy.
Yeah, no, he's crazy. Anyways, so where were we?
I don't remember. we're trying to figure out if the Zune fits in. For instance, everybody wants to say, I'm going to buy it on the Xbox 360, plug my Zune in, and voila, everything happens.
You are a talented interviewer, I must say. Way to keep it on there. I tried to distract you, but so Zune, all about music, kicking ass on music. I think we all recognize and see what a great video platform it can be. Right. 3-inch screen, crystal clear, as I've read in the reviews, bright. So we see the opportunity in video there, and we believe fully in the vision that Microsoft has of connected entertainment, which one of the key pillars of that is consumers can buy once and play anywhere.
So
and so while we have that vision and we have these assets in place, and we've made a very deliberate sort of step of initially focusing on music with Zune and initially focusing on beyond games, of course,
right.
on video with Xbox. I think it's clearly something we're looking at and thinking about how to do in the right way.
But we're not announcing anything.
Thank you.
I get tired of the look in your eyes.
Do you get tired of that protracted? You podcasters, you cut right through it. The journalists out there, you know, they would let me get through that.
Really?
Like, yo, so I see
my audience is like, oh, they're fast forwarding. They were going, okay, Ross isn't going to tell us anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The guys over at AVS Forums are listening to this and they're going, listen to it at 45 minutes in. And this is what he said.
No,
that's not what
he said.
And
they're going to say, 720p, that blows. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. No, it does.
Yes, it does. It's crazy. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up now because you got to get on to your next meetings and start getting Battlestar Galactica. You got to get Battlestar Galactica on,
that's
mister.
That's true. And so, Care Bears.
And Care Bears.
Oh, no, not the Care Bears.
So anything else you want to leave us with?
No, I just think I think that we've worked really hard across
right.
lots of different teams to create a compelling service that really fits into the idea of Xbox being first about the games, next
yep.
about your friends, and then next about your lifestyle. And,
yep.
and as Shane Kim likes to say, gamers are people too, and you like to watch TV and movies and in high def. And just everyone on 1122, check it out.
Which is the one-year anniversary of the Xbox 360.
You are correct, sir.
I am correct, sir.
I would say if you like it, let me know. If you don't like it, let Larry know.
So here's a little secret that I'm going to let people know that they may not know. Everyone's kind of curious as to what happens. Does this mean there's a dashboard update coming? The answer is no.
No, because it's already there.
Because the code was already baked into the fall update that went out a few weeks
ago.
We're
very sneaky.
It just kind of, what's going to happen is something magical happens when you connect to Live and the code wakes up and all of a sudden the heavens open up, the birds start singing, the flowers start blooming, and you have cool stuff. Exactly.
We play that, actually.
We play that.
As you boot up the
So,
first.
No, there is no dashboard update required. It's all there waiting. What else is inside there? Who knows?
Who knows what's coming?
Yes.
I will say, actually, one last thing I would say is that I must say, as being a Microsoft employee and working on Zune and working on Xbox, I was very pleased to see that the news of this. We only had one rumor to some random site out there laying out that we were thinking about doing this a couple days before we went public. And we were always planning to go public at that time.
Right.
And when, you know, he saw, like, the Zune prototypes, like, leaking, you know, totally all over the place, it was really cool to see that we could actually keep something on the down low and then
right.
really blow everybody away, including our competitors.
Right.
Nintendo, Sony, I'm talking to you. In such a cool fashion. We only had to kill a few people who found out that shouldn't have.
Well, we don't kill them. They just were reassigned.
Oh, yes.
That's what we say. You haven't worked here long enough. They're now working on SQL Server something something.
Exactly.
Anyway.
In Siberia.
In Siberia. So anyway, all right, Ross, I'm going to appreciate your time. So can I get you on the show again, maybe? Here's the deal. I'll have you on again, but you're not going to come on again until we get Battlestar Galactica and some other cool stuff on.
That's a deal.
Is that a deal?
That's a deal.
All right,
thank you.
I will see you on Gears of War.
Thanks, man.
There you go. We'll get Battlestar Galactica on. Ross is working hard on that. So, did you pick up on that? I called it out pretty clearly. But there won't be a dashboard update for this. It's kind of cool the way it works is an 1122 or whenever E's team decides to flip the switch, all of a sudden you're going to kind of have a different view into the Xbox Live Marketplace and the video section. So, if you go over to the Media Blade and down to Video Marketplace, that'll be the entry point. That'll be like the major entry point into it. And it'll look different, kind of the screenshots that you've seen. So, also, the prices that you have seen do not reflect actual pricing. Disclaimer, 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 disclaimer. So, thanks for Ross for coming on. Yeah, I'm sure you guys are going to send me your shows, so if you have any comments about Ross, go ahead and send them over to me. Or I actually put his gamer tag up on the blog, so you can go ahead and just send him a message over live. Just tell him what you want. Tell him you need to have the Major Nelson podcast on the marketplace, because he's the man that can make it happen. Or so I think. I don't know. I know everybody wants to get my shows on the marketplace, and everyone does too. We're just trying to figure out the technical solution. All right, so... this has been leading up to this, the interview that I'm going to have right now that I'm going to play for you with, that I did just a day or two ago with, with Chip from EA, and I'm so excited that he decided to come on, because he, you know, there's been a lot of questions around what's going on there, and Chip Lang is over at EA, and Chip Lang is responsible for much of their strategy, specifically the marketplace strategy. He looks across the portfolio and manages that. So I was thrilled when I got some emails from EA this week, and they said, hey, you know, we were working on it, what can we do? And I said, let's have Chip on the show. You know, I could get somebody on from each of the individual games to talk about it, but let's bump it up a level. Let's bump it up and have somebody on who can really talk to everything that goes on. So Chip Lang, as you'll learn, is just a great guy and a gamer just like you and me, was able to come on the show. So here's my interview with Chip Lang, who's responsible for EA's marketplace strategy. I am pleased to have on the line today a good friend of mine, Mr. Chip Lang. Chip, hello and welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
No problem. So why don't you go ahead and tell me a little bit about your role. You work for Electronic Arts, and I want to hear what you do at EA.
I have a job that's titled, I'm the Vice President of Online Commerce at Electronic Arts. I've been at EA for 15 years. I spent a long time in our marketing organization working on a little brand called EA Sports.
Yep.
And spent a lot of time with things like John Madden Football, and have been recently caught up with the opportunity that exists in the online gaming space. I play a lot of World of Warcraft, a big Dark Age of Camelot fan, and I'm a huge fan of Xbox Live and what it's done for gaming overall.
So you're a gamer.
I'm proud to say it, claim it, you know, yell it from the highest rafters and rooftops.
So you know the next question. What's your gamer tag?
my gamer tag is Grateful Dead.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of the Grateful Dead. It's spelled creatively. So if you see Grateful Dead out there shooting you in Gears of War tonight, that's me.
That's you.
And, you know, having a lot of fun with gamer points and achievements. And I'm looking forward to a couple of big releases that came out today, Gears of War and Viva Pinata this weekend.
Yep.
So, yeah, looking forward to a great game weekend on Xbox Live.
It's going to be great. So so what's your gamer score? I haven't looked you up yet.
I am about 500 short of you.
Oh, you're...
I'm at 4,020.
You checked me out already. So
yeah, I was scouting. You've got 40 more games than I do, though. So.
That's true. Well, you come
you've
on up
here. You've got me on library size.
But before we get into it, I try to ask some of these, since you're a gamer, tell me what's your home gaming experience like? What are you pimping out at home?
I've got a couple. I've got the big screens downstairs.
Yep.
But it's a big room and, you know, nice comfy couch. And I use that for when I've got friends over and we're playing a great multiplayer game like Madden.
Right.
So that's kind of the social gaming layer. And then upstairs I've got this beautiful Sony high definition, Bravia monitor. And that's my primary gaming den. You know, my wife calls it my gamer's den.
The man cave.
That's the man cave. I live in there, and it's got nice Bose surround sound speakers and a great HD monitor, all hooked up with Xbox Live, and I've got my PC hooked up to my 360, so I can listen to my music when I'm playing.
So you're rolling in style.
Yeah, it's fun. I think if you're going to spend your weekends playing, you might as well do it in style.
There you go. So Chip,
and it's work, right?
exactly. We're working, and I use air quotes. We're working, honey.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to get you on the show, and you know, you and I have been exchanging emails for a couple days here. Around, there's a lot of questions around EA and what they're doing on the marketplace, and that's kind of under your jurisdiction, for lack of a better term. Is that right?
That's right. It's one of the things that I'm looking at is ways in which we can continue the interactive experience using platforms like the Xbox Live.
So what, you know, a couple of titles that have come out with the biggest concern that gamers have, and we'll just get this out of the way right up front.
Okay.
The biggest concern that gamers have is, oh my God, and this isn't just EA, but any publisher. Oh my God, the marketplace is going to start nickel and diming me. They're going to start cutting stuff out of the games that and then start charging me, and I'm going to get an incomplete gaming experience. Tell me, when you see, and obviously you're reading forums, you're reading
yep.
blogs, when you see that, what do you say? What do you want to say? Because you have the opportunity now.
Well, I like to look at it, and I'm, you know, I'm in the same boat that I think everybody else is, which is I just got a new game, and you love to have accessorize anything that you get, whether it be a new car, whether it be a new game, whether it be your new, you know, home entertainment system. Everybody likes to have choice in today's day and age. And as long as I feel like the games that I'm getting are world-class and fully loaded, and that's a big statement. I think the games that the industry is making right now are robust and deep experiences. And I think now what we've been able to do is add a lot of choice to how gamers want to trick out their experience, you know, myself included. So if you want to add some quests onto a game that you're playing and you want to go down this path, you know, those options are there if it's something that you're interested in doing. So I think one of the big opportunities that Xbox Live presents to us as publishers is the ability to allow customers to trick out their experience and to customize it in ways that they want to. And if there's things that they're not particularly interested in, they can leave those on the shelf. And I think anytime you can introduce choice into a gamer's option set, I think ultimately the gamers win, provided there's enough content there for people to have fun with.
You know, some of the content that we've seen, and we'll just, I mean, you're the guy, so I've got you on the line. Some of the content we've seen coming out, for instance, Need for Speed and The Godfather, there's been a lot of concern about that, oh my God, this game has come out on the PS2, for instance, and it's got all these cars or it's got all these weapons, and it's coming out on Xbox, and now I have to pay to unlock it. How do you look at that, and how do you guys kind of rationalize the different parts of the marketplace?
Well, I look at it a couple ways. One is I'm trying over here to make sure that we are not putting content for free in other places and charging for it in others. So, I mean, that's kind of a guiding principle that we're working on putting into place here at Electronic Arts. But one of the things I look at is, because of the way in which the Xbox Marketplace operates, we can offer choices to customers. And, you know, examples of that are some of the options that we're giving players to access content.
Okay.
So there are certain pieces of content in both The Godfather and in the Need for Speed title which would take a normal gamer, you know, 20, 30 plus hours to be able to unlock. And we know from our time making these games that only about 20% of our users ever get access to that content.
Okay.
And so we've heard, and this is, again, one of the things that I think is so great about the new age of marketing and gaming, is that it's easier than ever to hear what customers are thinking about things that we're doing.
And as you and I both know, it's a pretty vocal audience.
It's a vocal audience, but there's also a vocal minority, but there's also other people that we hear from time and time again, both in things in their purchase habits as well as in other forums other than the most hardcore boards, you know, where they're saying, you know what, I don't have 40 to 50 hours to unlock this golf course.
Right.
And that's what it would take me, but I would love to be able to play on that hole. The 17th at Sawgrass or something like that is something that I've always wanted to play. And we hear that time and time again. And if there's people who have the option to be able to do it this way or that way, then this is an opportunity, just like we've seen other examples of this in the industry, whether it be a gaming magazine or, you know, websites that are providing cheat codes or things like that. There's always been things in our industry which have enabled people to get to certain parts of games in ways other than just play through it as scripted.
Now, you know, we're talking about cheats right now. So one of the concerns that I've seen on the boards, I'm sure you've seen this as well, is that, well, those cheats were pulled out of the Xbox 360 version, but they're free everywhere, but now I have to pay for them.
Well, I mean, there's places that that they are quote-unquote free,
right.
You know, but those, for example, would be websites. And those websites are making money by selling advertising.
So when I say free, meaning like I can't hit, and I'm just going to make up something here, I can't hit ABXY, ABXY, ABXY in a certain game and it unlocks something, that particular function was removed. Are you saying that that's not the case, that those functions, in fact, are in there?
I'm saying there's going to be both.
Okay.
And so I think there's going to be certain things which, you know, if you want to, instead of playing through a racing game to unlock a particular thing in a car, for example, those types of things are going to be available if you don't want to spend the time to play through the entire product. You don't have the time.
Right.
And you want to get that type of experience, that's going to be there. There's also going to be the classic variety of cheats, quote-unquote, that has been standard in the industry.
Right.
And there'll still be a healthy business around, you know, hint guides, magazines that make a business out of doing this, websites that make a business out of doing this, as well as, you know, I just look at the marketplace as yet another extension of ways in which consumers are going to be able to access the content in the game the way they want.
So to put a finer point on it,
yeah.
Did you guys take any cheats out of the current generation and sold them as premium content on the 360?
I am not aware of cheats that have come out of the current generation and that has moved into a specific paid situation.
Got it.
But I don't know if that's right or not. That's not an answer that I've actually gone in and researched.
What would you like to see? What's the perfect answer out there for you?
Well, I think the perfect answer is wherever the market allows for choice, that we enable it. So whereas there is now an opportunity through the marketplace for people to be able to unlock things in products, if that's the way that they choose to play the game, then I think we should enable that, and I think that leverages the platform that is the 360 that people are so excited about.
So how does, moving forward a little bit, does EA decide what content to put on the marketplace? I mean, how do you look at this?
Well, we take a big, long look at what is, you know, what's our, what's on the whiteboard.
Right.
You know, literally, we've got whiteboards all around this office, and we sit and we look, and we figure out what are the type of experiences that we think deliver the product that is going to be the product that we take to market. And then if there's content that for one reason or another doesn't make it into the finished good, for example, there are some features in the Need for Speed game that were included in the limited edition,
mm-hmm.
which always sells out at retail, and we never have enough inventory, and you hear this from gamers all the time, oh, that's a bummer, I didn't get the collector's edition. I would have loved to have had, you know, X, Y, and Z, whether it be cars or specially tuned things or a new race.
Right.
You know, those type of things that are in the collector's edition, the industry's established has value. We've heard time and time again people getting shut out of that opportunity to be able to get that content, whether it be sold out or what have you.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
And so here you go. Here's a great new opportunity that because of the way the Xbox Live marketplace is set up, we're able to offer that content. Again, it's a choice. It's not a requirement.
Sure.
To customers to be able to get in there and not get shut out of some of the content that's available through that device.
So that's
one way to look at it.
Yep.
You know, there's other ways to look at it, which would be we've got some stuff that doesn't fit the particular fiction. For example, we had a couple of classic stadiums that we were experimenting with in Madden that we were messing around with in the office and thought were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, this would be something I bet customers would have a, you know, great time playing with. We were messing around with the old Los Angeles stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing it with the studio guys down in Florida, and we said, this is cool.
Yeah. You
know, we should figure out how to get this into a game.
Yeah.
And we said, why don't we put it up on the marketplace and see how people like it.
So just to be clear, I mean, it's not like that content was done at the same time the game was done, because that's another big fear of gamers, as I said earlier, is that companies are going to start looking at a game and kind of whittling down what is a quote-unquote complete game.
Well, there will be content. There will be content that is done whenever. I mean, a lot of this content gets done early, and for one reason or another, like we didn't have retro stadiums for the entire league,
right?
So it didn't make the feature set. Or we've got a set of features that are, you know, Electronic Arts publishes on lots of platforms, and so we would have a suite of features that are the standard definition of, let's just say, Need for Speed,
mm-hmm.
and those are the features across platforms. And then we've got some other stuff that for one reason or another didn't make it into any of them. And we say, boy, it sure would be nice to be able to get this to the gaming community. Hey, I bet that the Xbox fans would love this on the marketplace.
And then you could just, you know.
And because the marketplace exists and it doesn't exist anywhere else yet, we would, you know, we have an avenue to get it to people.
Another concern is, how can you charge for content that was previously available and currently available in current gen games for free? That's kind of the
that is something that we have looked very hard at making sure doesn't happen.
Right.
So there shouldn't be a situation where, for one reason or another, you've got, you know, 25 levels in a PlayStation game, and those levels are not present on an Xbox 360 game.
Yeah, there's only 23 levels.
Exactly. So that's not the way that we're thinking of it. That's not fair. I don't think that's creating choice.
Right.
So I think if it's the case where, you know what, here's the feature set for this product across all platforms, we've got stuff just like any entertainment medium has, right? DVDs have extended content that extends stuff. Games have stuff that for some reason or another doesn't make it into the full product. We've got this stuff here, regardless of when it was made.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we want to get it to customers? Well, we can either get it to them in an expansion pack. We can get it to them through the marketplace because that's unique to 360. Those are some of the options we have. And as the gaming industry becomes more online-centric, I think that's going to provide a whole lot more choice to the customer base, provided that the base experience continues to be a robust and rewarding one.
Because as you and I both know, I mean, we're both on Xbox Live. There's still a ton of people that haven't connected or can't connect their consoles.
That's right. And so, I think the more content that you have out there and compelling reasons for people to want to get online and have access to all this, and it's more than what used to happen online where you would get online and play with somebody, you know, in Alabama or wherever, and, you know, they'd be great at Madden football.
Right.
And, you know, that certainly was my experience, and you get beat a lot. Now all of a sudden you get online and you can do everything from tricking out my car in Need for Speed to getting a new gun in The Godfather to playing your buddy in Atlanta in Madden. The variety of things that you can do online now is so much more diverse. I think the offering for people and the compelling reason to get people to plug in that cable is way more than it was last generation.
Oh, sure. But I guess what I wanted to also point out is the fact that there's so many people that aren't online, you got to make sure when they go to their local Walmart, GameStop, wherever they're shopping, that that disc is a complete gaming experience.
And I really, I feel like it is. And okay. If that wasn't the case, and I was looking at products that I felt like were shortchanging the customer, then I think some of the concerns would be more valid.
Sure.
I think that you take a look at a game like Need for Speed, it's got as much content, if not more, than we've ever put in one of these games. I mean, these games are more expensive to build than they ever have been. They're chock full of content, whether it be video or modes or tracks or races or cars or levels or, you know, you name it. These games are robust experiences, and it's not just EA's. You know, I've been playing tons of games on the 360, and these games are getting longer and more compelling and more entertaining than I think they have been in any time in our history.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have been gaming for, you know, I don't know how old you are, but it sounds like you and I have been gaming for probably about the same amount of time. We'll just leave it at that. And, you know, you and I remember the days when all you did was have that 16 or 8-bit cartridge that you could throw in.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And I would challenge anybody to play through all of the levels and all of the options that shipped on the packaged goods version of Need for Speed. That's a long, robust experience, and I believe that it represents a major step forward in the franchise history. And now add on top of that the type of things which you can add on by purchasing, if you choose, the collector's edition upgrade or some of the car upgrades that you can buy for your cars that you're driving. There's a ton of experience there. Same thing goes for The Godfather. I mean, The Godfather is a long experience to play end-to-end. And I feel real good, as you know, I did when we released it on platforms that didn't have a marketplace. It was a robust experience then, and I think it's a robust experience now.
It's okay. You can say PlayStation or PSP. I don't mind. I don't mind. What's your view on making some of that content free after, you know, 60 days or a year or 6 months? What's your view on that?
I think there is absolutely an opportunity that the marketplace provides to get content to customers in a variety of different price ranges. So I can tell you that there's going to be a mix of content coming from EA on the marketplace that's not only just, pay with Microsoft points, but there's going to be times in which we want to get content out there for free.
Right.
You know, and a lot of companies have done it in different seasonalities. You know, I'll give everybody an exclusive hint on your show.
Sure.
That come around the holiday season, there's going to be some fun ho-ho-ho stuff going on at EA.
All right.
And I think that's the type of thing that this new gaming landscape provides for us, is a chance to delight our customers with great experiences and unexpected rewards.
Thank you for that little clue, by the way. I mean, I honestly, I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds great.
Come holiday season, keep your eye on the marketplace. We should have some cool stuff.
The great, I mean, and I've talked about this because I've been on a couple of shows and G4 and so forth, and you probably saw that. You know, really, I think you'll agree with me, this, and I've said this many times, this is a new era. We're kind of all experimenting and trying to figure it out. Would you say that's a fair statement?
That they're trying to figure what out?
That we're all experimenting with this new marketplace and this new method
of delivery. Absolutely. I think any publisher who claims to have all the answers on this emerging marketplace is wrong.
Right.
We're all in the first throes of how this is emerging. We're all working through, you know, getting our software onto the 360, understanding what the marketplace is interested in. You know, we're paying very close attention at EA, you know, to your blog,
yep.
You know, to all the other boards that are out there. I personally read about, you know, 10 of them a week, just paying attention to what people are saying. But we're also talking in less, like I mentioned, hardcore forums, talking to some of the more casual gamers through focus groups and through other aspects of engaging with our customers to try to learn what people are interested in. We're also paying close attention to what content is rising to the top of people's interest list through sales and what stuff is kind of sitting and not selling very well. And there's a classic market, you know, supply and demand dynamic going on here in which we're paying real close attention to what's moving. And we will figure out what's a hit and what's not. We will pay a real close attention to what is feeling like it's not being well received by the gaming population, and we'll modify our plans accordingly. I can tell you that the next year's content plan is in development now, but is by no means locked.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are in the process of evaluating through, you know, major release weeks like we did last week, seeing what people think, seeing what sells, seeing where people are downloading, and responding accordingly. Now, I'm getting some great feedback in that I've heard that most people who buy a piece of content on Need for Speed are buying more than one.
Yep.
And they're not doing it at the same time. They're coming back for more and coming back for more. I mean, that's an indication that we're doing something right there.
Right.
And now it's just a figure of, okay, what aspects of that content are the things that people are coming back for? What are the things that we're getting positive feedback on? And what are the things that people are responding negatively to? And let's do less of that.
So speaking of Need for Speed, I want to talk about Need for Speed and then the Godfather content. We've kind of been dancing around, but specifically, what type of content can we expect moving forward? I mean, we had a series of releases this week and a couple weeks ago. Can you give me a little hint about what's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we've got content coming out. I think we've released about 20% of our content on both of those franchises.
Mm-hmm.
In the first week.
Wow.
And that was one of the things that I've heard people saying, if this stuff was all just sitting and waiting and they just stuck it all out on day one.
Right.
And in fact, we've actually got a nicely planned out release strategy of content that's going to keep new and exciting things to be done in both of those games over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. And so, you know, if 20 or 25% of that content is out there now, there's going to be similar types of content released, more of it, whether it be different types of car upgrades, whether it be different types of weapon upgrades, different types of levels, and whether it be quests in The Godfather or challenge events and races in Need for Speed. Those type of content, we've released some now, and we've got more to come. We've also got, like I mentioned, some stuff that we're going to be doing at the holiday on some of these franchises, which are just kind of fun things. So that stuff's all coming. The goal was to just have a constant flow of things that customers can add on to their experience if they feel like it. Between now and, you know, beyond the end of the year, again, just it always feels good when you're playing a game and you check up on. I know I do this on a lot of the games I'm playing right now, and you go up on Marketplace and you're, oh, cool, there's this new thing to do.
Right.
You know, it kind of adds a little life to the game as you start to play through the content that's on the disc, and you go, hey, great, there's something new. I'm gonna do that this weekend. And I know that adds a little spice into the product. I think it's a real unique aspect of the 360, and that what you're getting is an extended game experience that can add some fun factor well beyond the normal life cycle of the product.
One of the, you know, you talked about this a few minutes ago, but so in the Need for Speed, for example, the new downloadable content that is available for purchase, before I get going, so you talked that 20 to 25% of the stuff was already released. That's what you said. So how much more, you know, everyone's asking right now, saying, Major, ask him, how much of the new stuff's going to be free? And you talked about some Christmas stuff. Do you expect 20% of it to be free, half, you know, 10, 5?
I would expect that most of it's going to follow a pricing strategy similar to what we've released.
Okay.
And that we'll have an assortment of goodies around the holiday.
Right.
That just are a fun reward to our customers for keeping playing the game.
Back to the community. Is the new downloadable, so back to Need for Speed, is the new downloadable content that is available for purchase, a lot of it's unlockables. If I'm good at the game and progress through the career mode, I get those things anyway, just to be clear.
You get those things in the game by playing through them. There are certain things that you get in the game that you can only get by playing the game.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. And so you can't go into the marketplace and get access to the entire suite of game content. There are certain things in the game that by playing through it all the way, that only people who play through it will be able to have access to.
So it's not like you can just buy your way into.
You can't buy your way through the whole game. No, there are certain things that you know. I'm a gamer. You're a gamer.
Yep.
Badge of honor. You know, you show up with that car, or you talk to your buddy about, hey, I did this. We realize that that's part of the gaming culture, and we don't want that to go away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are people who, like I mentioned, you know, our research shows only 20% of our gamers finish the games that we make. And so there's people who want access to some of that content, and if they choose to accelerate their access to some of it, that's the design philosophy behind the marketplace stuff right now, among, you know, providing other types of content and things out there. So that's the idea behind it. And like I said, we're paying real close attention to how people respond to it, and we'll be, you know, working on our strategy for next year, you know, between now and the end of the year.
I mean, I think it's also important to note is that you guys, EA, through talking here today, you know, just talking to me, you guys are engaged and you're watching the board. So it's an ongoing, evolving process with the feedback that you're getting, the market research that you're also receiving. So it's dynamic.
It is dynamic. There's a lot of us that are big fans of the platform and that are spending our free time playing. You know, it's hard to be in this business and not have a real passion for what it is that we're making. You know, and so we're paying real close attention to what the experience is on screen that we're delivering. We're paying real close attention to the community buzz and activity, both good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to hear it when people are raving about how great a game is. At the same time, I also take it to heart when I hear feedback, like I've been reading on your board this last week, about some of the frustration of the marketplace strategies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're paying close attention to that, and we're going to be, you know, like I mentioned, building our plans with that feedback in mind, and also paying real close attention to what ultimately is moving up and down in our priority list on the sales charts.
Right.
You know, what are people responding to, and what are people not?
Yeah, because it is. You're right. I mean, I've talked about this before, and I've told people, look, if you don't particularly like it, then you don't have to buy it. You know, speak with the A button or not speak with the A button, as the case may be.
Precisely, provided that the game that is being sold into the disk drive, so to speak,
right,
is a compelling, robust experience. And you look at our game ratings, and you look at the satisfaction levels that people have with the things that we're doing, and by and large, most of the products that we release, we're proud of.
Yeah. It's you know, a lot of the Need for Speed and the Godfather, they had very similar content. You guys had similar strategies for both of those titles. And did you review those and say, let's try the same thing in Godfather? Because the racing person and the Godfather person, in my mind, probably are two different types of people.
They're different customers. We wanted to see if one responds, you know, one way, the other responds another.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's put this out as a strategy and let's see what the response is. And we'll modify our plans accordingly.
So I've been kind of hammering on you for the past 20 minutes.
It's fine. This is the feedback process we need to be able to make interactive software products that will delight all of your listeners.
So let's talk. What do you want to leave? You know, I want people are going to listen to this show today.
And yeah.
What do you want to leave them with in terms of how EA looks at the marketplace and content and so forth? What are the couple of bullet points you want people to take away?
Well, I want people to first and foremost know that we're listening. And I hear a lot of times that there's this faceless, gamer tagless organization named EA that's out there just taking advantage of their gaming passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here 15 years. I can tell you that's not the case. This is a cool company with a lot of people who are really passionate about making great interactive experiences and delighting our customers. So I'm on your show. I read your boards. I'm online every night playing games. To pay real close attention to what's happening in the market and how can we best leverage the 360 as a platform to create really exciting interactive experiences for all your listeners and all the gamers that are out there.
So that's
the first point is we're listening, we're gamers, and we really do care. And second is that the online revolution, I've been running around Electronic Arts for the last few years calling it an online renaissance, is really upon us. And there are so many opportunities for us to do different things in game design, in content delivery, in creative expression, that we are just getting started. And I think Microsoft is doing some very exciting things with the platform and with the software we're releasing. I think EA is doing some very exciting things with the software that we're releasing and the content we're releasing. And so this really is just the tip of the iceberg, and the next, 5 to 10 years, I think, are going to be the most exciting 5 to 10 years in gaming history in terms of changing the way that people play games, because I think online gaming is a renaissance, and we're going to do everything we can at EA to knock it out of the park.
So yeah, of course everyone who's had a gamer tag since like 2001 or 2002 have been saying, "Oh, we know that. We've been online forever."
We know that. But look at, every year there's more and more people online, which makes it more and more fun to play because the bigger the community, the more exciting it is online.
Yeah, it's Chip. I really appreciate you coming on the show today and talking to me. Will you come on again maybe in a few months?
Absolutely. It's great. It's a great way for me to get feedback, and it's always fun to talk to you. And next time I'm on your show, I'm going to have a better gamer tag than you.
All right, I'm down with that. All right, my friend Chip. Thank you so much for coming on the line.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. Chip Lang, who is the VP of Online Commerce for Electronic Arts. Chip, thank you for coming on the show, answering some questions. I'm sure that my comments section, which Chip will be reading, will fill up with comments, questions, flames, and what have you. I mean, they're looking at feedback, so that's a critical data point that they're looking at. So offer up some good constructive feedback. That's what it's all about. So again, thank you, Chip. I'd love to have you on again sometime. How great is that? He gave out his gamer tag there. I'll post that up on the blog and start a nice dialogue with him. So thanks again. So, all right. So we're cooking along here on the show. The show is now weighing in at damn near 2 hours, which is my second week in a row when I'll probably go 2 hours or a little bit more than 2 hours. So I need to thunder on forward with what's going on. If you're listening to this today, which is Sunday, I encourage you to go up to Sunday, which is today's Emergence Day. Of course. So Sunday, November 12th, I encourage you, if you live in North America, which is Mexico, for those of you that don't know geography, Mexico, United States, and Canada, go on and download your Emergence Day gamer pictures and so forth. Now, I don't know if those pictures and content will be available elsewhere. When Gears of War ships, I'm sorry, I don't have the answer to that question. I don't work in the marketing department and I haven't gotten answers for that. So I apologize. All right, let's see. What is going on with Marketplace this? Well, there's a ton of stuff in Marketplace. Swing by my blog when you get a chance. If you go down the left-hand side, you'll see a tag cloud. If you just click on the little big one that says Marketplace, it'll list everything that I've tagged with Marketplace. So that's what's going on. There's a couple things I want to bring up that you may or may not be aware of. One of them is tomorrow, which is Monday, MTV is going to be showing a, they've got some shows coming up specifically. It's called The Race to Launch. So Monday night, November 13th, it's Gears of War Race to Launch. So this is obviously kind of follows up to their Race to E3 show that they did, a few months ago, right before E3, where they were talking with Cliffy about the game and so forth. So this is on Monday night, so check your local listings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that may be good for you to tape if you want to record that. Let's see what else we have going on. Also, the guys from 1UP sent me an email. They have a Gears of War special that's hit actually today, Sunday morning. So you can go ahead and, go over to their site and check that out. And then also, this is actually very exciting. We have a FIFA Interactive World Cup going on. So go ahead and check that out. I'll put a link up on the blog to that. And so if you're interested and if you're a FIFA fan, you should probably go ahead and check that out. All right, so we're gonna thunder forward. We're gonna pop in Name the Game right now, which I thought was pretty easy. You know, I say that every week. You're probably sick of me saying that, so I'm gonna stop saying that. So here's Name the Game from last week. There you go. You think you know what that was? Well, you're probably right. That was, of course, MotoGP 06 on the Xbox 360. A lot of you guys had it nailed that one. It's pretty easy from the whining of the motorcycles. But let me pull out a winner. The winner is, his gamer tag is Prefectus X. Let me just Prefectus X. Congratulations. You grabbed yourself an Ear Force X1 headset from Turtle Beach. Turtle Beach is, this particular headset, the Ear Force X1, combines game audio and Xbox Live, voice audio in the same stereo headset experience. So congratulations, Prefectus X. Grabbed yourself that Ear Force X1. All right. New week. New Name the Game. Here it is. You think you know what that is? Well, then you know what to do. Drop me an email, major@xbox.com. In the subject line, please put Name the Game, colon, and then your guess. In the body, please put your gamer tag if you have one. And if you'd like to, optionally include where you're from in this planet Earth so that I can kind of track where my listeners are from. So that's what it is. And get it right, and I'll put you into a drawing to win a cool prize. Simple as that. Voila. Okay, so we're closing in on almost 1:55 right now, almost 2 hours. I'm gonna wrap it up here. Want to thank you for downloading the show. It's been a great show. Want to thank all my guests for coming on. It's been it was great to have some of these folks on. Caesar from Microsoft Game Studios, the Frag Dolls, of course, Ross Honey, who's working on the marketplace stuff, which will be live 11/22. And of course, Chip Lang, who is the VP of Online Commerce. So thanks everyone for EA. Thank everybody for coming on the show and taking time out of your week. I'll see what I can spin up for you this week. So next week's show, what am I going to do? Don't know. I may be too busy with a Wii. Although I have to be honest, I haven't pre-ordered it yet. Nor have I pre-ordered the PS3. Hopefully I'm going to just kind of stumble into one, but I think I may be in trouble with the PS3. I will say this. I do know someone who is getting one, so I will have the chance to play with one. That's kind of all I'm going to say about that. As far as the Wii, I played with that over at Gabe and Tycho's place over at Penny Arcade. I think I may need to go back there and play some more with those guys. And speaking of Tycho, he and I got to do a little bit of Gears of War co-op tonight, so I'm gonna have to start wrapping it up here. So, okay, thanks again for downloading the show. I don't really have my gadget section that I like to talk about. My satellite radio appearance. I've been doing that. This will be the third week now. I'll be on Tuesday on Sirius Satellite Maxim Channel 108. I believe it's at 11 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock, 1, 2 o'clock Eastern. Don't know. Check your satellite listings. I'll join those guys over there, and we'll be talking about all sorts of crazy stuff. I don't even have... You know, you'd think for all the promotion that I give those guys and what I do for those guys, you'd think they'd send me a Sirius satellite radio. I got nothing. I mean, I got my Zune, but I don't have a Sirius satellite radio. Come on, guys. Send it over. Maybe I should start holding off. I'd love to talk about that gadget, right? Have you seen the stiletto? Ooh, that looks kind of cool. That looks fun. Okay, now's the part of the show where I thank my friends who helped me make this show possible. Lithion for providing some excellent work on the web. I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net.
They provide MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, as well as hosting of all these crazy files, these big fat 2-hour podcasts / blogcasts that I like to do. But thank you for everybody for, and of course all my guests. Thank you. And then you. Thank you for downloading this. So this is Larry Herbeck, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying I'll talk to you next week. Right about now, if you listen to the entire show, you should be about 25% smarter. Your mileage may vary. But reminding you to have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint if it's necessary. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. After show time. What am I talking about in the after show? I have no idea what I'm talking about in the after show. I could talk about the Gears of War co-op, which, as I said in the main show, as the kids say, it's mad crazy. I mean, it is just fun. Also, a lot of people have been asking, or I've been noticing there's a little bit of pickup around and I should probably talk about this next week, but I'll address it briefly now. The speed and actually specifically the quietness, is that a word? How quiet the PS3 is relative to the Xbox 360. One of the key indicators is, or one of the key reasons is the fact that we're spinning our disc at 12x. If you listen to it, if when it's off and it's just sitting there, it's fairly quiet. And I think the Blu-ray disc is spinning at 2x. So we could spin down to 2x for if you want. Happy to do that, but that means, you know, stuff's going to load slower. So think about that. So that's my tip of the week. Let's see what else I get. Yeah, it's going to be a great week, isn't it? With Friday with that release, Sunday with the Wii release. It's going to be pretty wild. You guys are going to have some great gaming time. And then of course all the great titles on the Xbox 360, the Gears of War, the Viva, the CODs, the Vegas. I'm sure I'm missing a couple cuz it's just overwhelming at this point, isn't it? It's really overwhelming. I really appreciate the guys that come on the show. You know, all my guests that I'm able to do the week. And basically I just start sending out emails and see whoever I can get on the show. And so I can't guarantee that every show is going to be a 2-hour spectacular like this one, but, you know, many of them will. So, okay. Also, you know what I need to work on? Here's what I'm looking for. I'm going to open this up to you guys. Does anybody know? I just installed the final build of Vista on one of my laptops. And I know that Vista and Internet Explorer use like the common feed underlying of that Windows now has, where it's like one feed list and either, for instance, Outlook 2007 can see it, or Internet Explorer can see it, or the Vista sidebar can see it. Does anybody know of an app, an actual desktop application
that will use the common feed list, because I can't seem to find one. I was looking for one, and I cannot seem to find one. It's driving me crazy. I use Feed Demon, but you got to pay for their service. But I'm looking for something that will, because Outlook will do that for me. It will sync up to everything. So I'm looking for something that'll do that. Let's see what else. I guess that's it. All right, got to go play some Gears of War co-op. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.